Welcome to Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church in Parkersburg, West Virginia, with our host, Sarah Sisson.
I'm Sarah Sisson, host of Stout for Christ, and we're glad you're listening to our radio show today. Stout for Christ is a ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church located at 3329 Broad Street in Parkersburg, West Virginia. We invite you to become a member of our Stout Church family. We offer two worship services each Sunday, a contemporary worship service at 8:45, and a traditional worship just following this broadcast at 10:45. If you can't join us in person, our services are broadcast live on Facebook and YouTube. Stout for Christ is a ministry meant to help us navigate life and learn more about God's love for all people. Today, our topic is calling. And here to help us learn more about this subject is Pastor Helen Oates. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. You know, I wanted to lift up this subject because I heard my mom say over and over again in her life, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what I'm being called to do. And she was the one who went to work in a shoe factory so us kids could have instruments to be a part of a band, you know, our school bands. She was the one who would go through the neighborhood and collect for March of Dimes or the Heart Association. She was the one who would make cinnamon rolls to take to some of the little businesses around our community just as a way to encourage the young people, young adults who have opened up those businesses. I mean, she had she was a force. And if Norma thought it should go one way, then she was determined to make sure things would go in that direction. But then she came to the point where even in terms of wanting to do more, she became a lay speaker within the life of the congregations over there in the Eastern Panhandle. So we might wrestle with that question of, you know, what am I called to do? What is God putting upon my heart? And I would say, you know, first, let's just think about the calls that we know from Scripture. You know, Abraham was called to leave Ur and travel to a new place. And Abraham was 70 years old already, and to pick up his family and his livestock, I mean, to move completely to a new place. And Moses, we think of how God got Moses' attention through the burning bush. Isaiah the prophet was in the temple and could feel just the holy presence of God. And in that sense, he felt himself so unworthy said, you know, I'm not worthy. Woe is me, a man of unclean lips. And how God purged those lips and then asked the question, well, who will go? Who will go for me? Who will go for us? And Isaiah's words that we recall, here I am, Lord, send me. So, you know, we have so many of these narratives that remind us how people were called. And, of course, one of those includes Jesus calling the disciples, walking by the Sea of Galilee and seeing some men actually taking care of their fishing nets and said to them, you know, come follow me. And they would left those nets and went and followed Jesus. So it is these accounts that help us to reflect then on our own call. You know, Apostle Paul was blinded on his way to Damascus and sat for 3 days in darkness because of what happened to his eyes. But then Resurrection Day came, and he was healed because someone else prayed with him and realized that he had been persecuting the Christians because they were not acting in the Jewish fashion. And yeah, so that changed, that turned him around. Usually our calls help to turn us around and see the possibility that God has in front of us. But, you know, we may not have a burning bush. We may not be blinded and knocked off of a donkey. You know, we might not have those kind of dramatic moments. But a call is a nudging that leads us into an action.
Yeah, and not everybody, you know, can obviously be a pastor. And not everybody can be, you know, living their dream job in a nonprofit. Sometimes you're just a regular person. So what does that look like?
Yeah, and, you know, we are called, one of the, I had a pastor mentor friend who told me that the congregation, the family that gathers together, that they're the ministers. Because they're the ones that are to go and be the hands and feet of Christ in the community. And the minister that you think, the one that gets paid, is really the pastor, the shepherd, and it helps to guide the congregation in ways of faith and service. So, yeah, we have these images, and we are then included, and we have a part of being the called people of God. One of the scripture texts that we have is from Matthew, and these are the words. As Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea because they were fishermen. Come, follow me, he said, and I'll show you how to fish for people. Right away, they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, repairing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. You know, in that account, we have Jesus offering the word, and the response then that people share. The scripture went on to say Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. He announced the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease and sickness among the people. This calling that Jesus, you know, we think about his putting together the 12 disciples, but then there were others, you know, who also were part of those that traveled with Jesus going from place to place.
Absolutely. So he didn't always call, you know, the person that was put together and well-respected by society, right?
Yeah, it's interesting to look at the people, the characteristics of the people that Jesus called. And, you know, each of our Gospels tell an account of the calling of the disciples. So that says to us that hearing the call, hearing God's call, is important for us to be of service, for us to be the hands and feet, we might say. But Jesus called, fishermen. We heard maybe even Peter. Peter had a business, as he called Peter and Andrew first as brothers. And Peter is the one who had a home in Capernaum and most likely located his fishing business in that area. And Jesus spent most of his ministry around Capernaum and that northern area of Galilee. In one reference, we hear that Peter's mother-in-law was ill. And even when you visit in Capernaum, you were able to see the ruins of Peter's house there. And here again, the story of the mother-in-law who was ill. And when all the disciples went in to hopefully be fed, the mother-in-law was raised from her illness by Jesus so that she could then serve them. But how we see the call and what it enables us to do. They were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. Tax collectors were hated. they were seen as pawns by the being used by the Roman government, and the regular Jewish person just despised the tax collectors. But here Jesus included Matthew. Jesus included the zealots. You know, we had Simon the Zealot. Judas Iscariot was one of the zealots, people who had a great passion to be able to see a national kind of Israel instead of the Roman government putting Israel under their thumb. But just each one had a set of different characteristics. And Thomas, that we know as a doubting Thomas, but was one who, in the ministry of carrying forth after Jesus, just had a vital role in telling others about the good news. Philip was one who was one of the first ones who was able to make a convert. A Ethiopian ended up, ended up traveling together. And Philip helped to instruct as he saw the Ethiopian trying to read, to instruct on what was being written in the scripture. So each one had a different kind of role, but put together, they made a team, much like we think about any teams that we have, whether basketball or football. Each player had a particular kind of role. But when put together and play as a team, they're a team.
So as we talked about, he called people who were very different. They weren't all pastors in the church or doing work every day, in the light of God. So what is our call? How can that?
Yeah. Well, they were ordinary people, and we see them, whether they left their jobs or whether they continued. We know the Apostle Paul was a tent maker, and so he continued his work as a tent maker as he also visited around and spread that early message about Jesus. Yeah, but when we look at what is our call and rehearse that initial question that my mother had, it is a way for us to kind of pause and see where God is leading us. What are we being nudged to do? Are we interested in helping to build a habitat house? Are we interested in serving at Old Man Rivers? Are we, you know, God nudges us and in certain directions, and we have to be able to say, oh, yeah, okay, God, I can think about that next week. And then next week comes, and all of life comes also, and so it gets put on a back burner, we might say. But to be able to be sensitive to the call. You know, my call came in a context of the church family at Augusta United Methodist Church, and in Augusta, West Virginia, not Augusta, Georgia. And, you know, a small congregation, the church was one of five that was on a charge. And though at the time that I was growing up there, had lots of kids, lots of children, then lots of youth because of lots of children. And the church decided they wanted to have a worship service every Sunday instead of two Sundays a month when the pastor could be there. So as a youth, the youth would say, well, Helen, you speak. You do that part of the service. Somebody else will lead singing, and someone else will do a prayer, but Helen, you speak. And in doing that and hearing the congregation say to me, and here I am, a farmer's daughter, say to me, Helen, have you ever thought about being a pastor? It's not like I saw back in the early or the 60s any of those kind of role models of women in ministry. But then to allow their question to sit with me, and as I ask that question of God, and then to see the way in which God opened a door here and a window there, and just the ways in which God worked and guided so that I was able to attend West Virginia Wesleyan College and then go to Duke Divinity School in Durham, North Carolina. Never having visited either school, first off, but just because God opened doors that would normally not be open to a poor farmer's daughter. But these things I began to be able to see as the work of God. Not that I was able to do that, or that my parents could afford to do that, but God made it possible. And so, yeah, we get called, and we can be teachers, we can be music directors, we can be those who, you know, work in an office and decide to help create a positive office environment that that says, yeah, we're not going to belittle one another, we're not going to be scratchy cats at one another, but that we all work toward the same goal within that office setting. Yeah, we can be called to various tasks, and in the in our work sector where we are, we can live out a calling that God has for us.
Yes, yeah, so it sounds like you know, for us regular people, there are things we can learn and characteristics of the disciples of Jesus that we can kind of mimic, right?
Yeah, and, you know, the characteristics of Jesus' disciples involved humility. It involved ways in which they were obedient to Jesus. So, you know, as we develop those characteristics in us, as we put pride and arrogance aside in our lives, as we put self-serving aside and allow God to into our hearts in such a way that we, we want to be able to be in service. They were willing vessels. And as the prophet said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." We can do that as well.
Well, that was a great discussion. I know that there is someone listening today whose life is touched by your wise words of hope in Christ and love for us all. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, Sarah.
Just really quickly, we want to just mention again that preschool registration is open now. You can come get an application, right?
That is right. Those applications are in our gathering space. We use that there out on the welcome desk and in other places also in the church. Even if you're just visiting the church for some kind of event or activity, do be aware. They are sitting around. And also available on our website, too.
Well, thank you, Helen. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sarah.
If you were blessed by this program today and want to know more about how you can become part of the Stout Memorial United Methodist family, tune in to Stout Memorial's Facebook Live worship broadcast just after this program at 10:45 a.m. Send an email to stoutmemorial@gmail.com or attend the worship service in person at 8:45 and 10:45 each Sunday morning. This has been Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church, Parkersburg, West Virginia.